there are no real atheists. Romans 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has shown everybody who He is, what He does. You can see it. He says here in verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. There are no real atheists. There are people who just deny what it is that their heart knows. And they all have their reasons for denying it. But they just deny it. Okay? So you pray. And we're going to pray for her, Laura. All right? Man, that's a good testimony. It's good to have my good friend, Brother Randy Casey, here. And appreciate him and the love he has for God and God's people. And he's one of the most loving men that I've ever known in the ministry. And I appreciate him very much. And you pray for him and pray for his wife. She is not in good health. And so just pray for them, all right? Turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know that I've ever really preached on this subject before. And that's the beauty of the Bible. You can preach a lifetime and never get all of it out. One lifetime is not enough to spend studying the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, because you're always going to find out something new. You're always going to find something that you never saw before in the Word of God. And I like that. I don't understand these guys who don't like to preach out of the Bible. Seems to me it's just harder work to try to come up with something to say for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, or whatever, when they could just let God say it, and God says it better than we do anyway. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look in verse 6. Do you know what leaven is? What is it? Yeast? Okay. You know what it does? Okay. There's leaven, there's yeast in this room. Okay. What I found out is yeast, there's about 1,000 some odd different strains of yeast. And there really is no place in the earth to escape it. Okay? I want you to ponder that. God made it that way. I want you to think about that. All right? And think about what the Bible is going to tell us today about it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I'll make it simple. You are holding in your hand the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In this particular case, leaven or yeast would represent something that's not right in the Bible. There is nothing that is not right in the Bible. Did you understand what I just said? There ain't nothing in the Bible that's not right. All right? Everything in my Bible is an unleavened bread. Because how many errors would it take to ruin the Bible? How many errors? How many mistakes in translation? How many errors in the manuscripts that didn't get copied right? That's what they say. How many errors would it take in order for the Bible to be not right? How much leaven does it take? Technically, if you could drop one spore of leaven in a lump of dough, given enough time, it'll puff that thing up. One. You've heard me say, that the deceitfulness of the Jehovah's Witness cult and the New World Bible, it all hinges on John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you add the letter A to that verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. If you add that one letter to that verse, it then skews your whole vision of how you see everything in the Bible relating to the deity of Christ. One letter. One word. So I don't believe, I can't believe that there's leaven in my bread. Can't believe it. Okay? I have to believe. It's what he said. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Truth that is without any mixture whatsoever of any error of any kind. If the Bible says that Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, guess what happened? If the Bible says that the sundial in Hezekiah, that Hezekiah and Isaiah are working it out, what do you want to see, Hezekiah? You're going to live longer. What do you want to see? You want to see the sundial move forward 10 degrees? You want to see it move forward backward 10 degrees? Hezekiah said, I can stand right here and watch it move forward 10 degrees. That's nothing. Have it move backward 10 degrees. That's 40 minutes. 40 minutes backward. That sundial moved backward 10 degrees while they were standing there looking at it. If that's what the Bible says, that's what I believe. I cannot believe that that is wrong. I cannot believe that my God would leave me here on this earth without His Word to guide me. If you had a compass that was off by a degree, you can't trust it. If you... Kind of like your Garmin GPS that you put in. Sterling, how many times has your GPS gone wrong? A bunch. Not as much as he makes it go wrong by trying to make it work. I believe that. But if it goes wrong, you don't trust it. And if my Bible's wrong one place, where else could it be wrong? I don't know that I could trust it. And I don't have anything else. To whom shall we go? Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. So I want you to think about this and ponder this leaven issue. All right? Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And Lord, you just brought me to a place in my life, God, after wandering in the wilderness all those years, God, you brought me to a place where I realized that I could trust this book. I could trust it. I put my life in it. My soul, my eternal life is hinged, Lord, upon this book being right. I don't trust men. I don't trust religions. I don't trust preachers. And I don't trust myself. All I have left is your word. And you've taught me over and over and over again that I can trust your word. Father, teach us about leaven this morning. Teach us, Lord, about things in our life, thoughts that did not come from you. Where did they come from? Teach us, dear God, about things to watch out for. Lord, you preach this message better than me. So, Lord, I'm going to let you preach it. Jesus, you're the only one who is worthy to take the book and open it. Open it for our understanding. And give us knowledge, give us understanding, give us wisdom, Lord, for the times we live in. Bless your word. I pray, dear God, that somebody somewhere, Lord, is listening. And they're lost. They need to be saved. And I pray, dear God, that you would just purge them of all the malice and wickedness in their life, dear God, and make them a new, clean, unleavened lump fit for your kingdom and your glory. Father, bless the message, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Up on the screen is some pictures of yeast spores. Okay? reason why you don't see them is that they are microscopic. It's interesting that there's so much taught in the Bible about leaven, about yeast, and yet, were it not for the yeast being all clumped together to where they could use it, one individual yeast spore cannot be seen by the human eye. And I did a little study on this to learn about yeast and learn a little bit about it. It's got this hard shell. And that hard shell, I mean, yeast, the seed inside of yeast can exist inside of that shell for hundreds, maybe thousands of years and still be viable. All it takes is it for it to land on something that's wet, like fruit or fruit juice, or, you know, on your body, or in a lump of dough. Once it hits that dough, that water just kind of disintegrates that shell, and that yeast becomes... Somebody who has used yeast before, how do you activate the yeast? Put it in water. Okay? That activates it. That breaks that spore down. And there's just one little strand of DNA in there, inside the nucleus of that thing, and it just starts growing. And this Bible, I don't know how they figured this out. I guess God told them. But one tiny spore of yeast is sufficient to ruin. Yeast is a spoiler. You know what that means? That left unchecked, it'll grow on something and it'll ruin what it's in. How many of you have ever opened a loaf of bread that's been sitting out for a while and it smelled like beer? Right? And some of you are going, oh yeah. And I'm going, why does that smell like beer? Ugh, it's disgusting. It's because yeast is what? You listen to me now. It's what ruins good barley and good hops. Okay? And it ruins perfectly good grape juice. Amen? See, I like grape juice. Grape juice is sweet. Grape juice has got a lot of iron in it, got a lot of nutrients in it, and it's got a lot of sugar in it. And the wine in the Bible, where it talks about the fruit of the vine coming off the vine and squeezing fresh grapes into a cup, they called it wine, but it was unfermented wine. And it was good. It was sweet. It was right. And then a little bit of leaven gets added to it. These guys that make wine, they know what they're doing. They add just a little bit of leaven. They don't need much because it doesn't take much. And what happens is the yeast eats the sugar out of that perfectly good grape juice. And it pukes alcohol. Amen? It eats the sugar up, and in exchange, it vomits out alcohol, and that's what ruins perfectly good grape juice. Now I want you to ponder this. God over and over and over and over in the Scriptures tells us wine and strong drink is bad. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Leaven put into grape juice, the effect that it has on the human mind is disastrous. Am I hitting you? That means, number one, you ought not drink. Wine is strong drink. And be drunk. The Bible says, be sober, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you're drunk, you'll never see him coming. You take that and apply that in a spiritual way. Spiritual drunkenness means that you cannot see what this Bible has to say. Your vision has been altered. You stagger it. Isaiah told to talk about the drunkards of Ephraim in Isaiah 28. He said they stagger, they stumble in judgment. That means that There is a spirit in them, a drunken spirit. Babylon the Great, she's got a cup full of the wine of her filthiness. And she pours it out, and preachers drink this stuff up. They drink this other spirit. And now all of a sudden, they can't see things in the Bible that when I look at it, I see it clearly in the Bible. They can't see that certain things are wrong anymore. Why? Yeast. Yeast got in their wine. And now they stagger in vision and they stumble in judgment and all tables are full of vomit. And I've said this before. The only thing worse than a preacher serving up vomit every Sunday are the dogs in the pews who lap it up. It takes perfectly good dough and puffs it up. Okay? Now, I want you to look up there on the screen. The amount of dough that is in flatbread is the exact same amount of dough that's in a slice of white bread. So you know what you're getting when you get white bread? Bunch of hot air. You get very little of the nutrients and the carbohydrates of the dough because the leaven, the yeast, eats the carbohydrates. It eats the sweetness out of that bread and puffs it up. It's just like eating a bowl of Rice Krispies. When I was a kid, I could eat a bowl of Rice Krispies. Now that I'm adult, if I eat a bowl of Rice Krispies, an hour and a half later, my blood sugar is going to crash. I'm going to be starving to death. Because I've ate nothing but something that was puffed up. You see, the leaven that comes after us people likes to make us puff up. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And if we're not careful, we believe the Bible. We believe the King James Bible. We believe in doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. We believe all these. We believe in holy living. We believe in this and we believe in that. And I've seen it. I've seen it so much in my life. How the things that we think and the things that we know puffs us up. And it's like we're better than everybody else. And we got to be careful of that. Purge that stuff out. Because the truth of it is, you're not really better than anybody else. Doesn't matter what you know. Amen? Matthew chapter 13. Boy, turn there. You're going to like this. Matthew 13. Verse 33. Another parable. Spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Now, why did he say 3 measures of meal? Till the whole was leavened. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, watch this. The 3 measures of meal, see, I count things in the Bible. When I see that number 3, I think of 1 John 2:15, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Remember what I said about yeast. Yeast is in this room right now. You can't see it, but it's there. You go outside, yeast is everywhere. You go back to your house, you got yeast floating around in the air in your house. The picture of that is this. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, or what you do, sin is always going to be present in your life. Always. You can puff up against everybody else and say, I don't watch television. That's good. That doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. That doesn't mean that you're not going to lust after something. That doesn't mean that you're not going to curse something. And the pride of life is sin. And what happens is we establish standards for our life and then we look at everybody else. That's not. I used to do that. I used to be so bad at this. looking at everybody who did not have my high standards, and I puffed up over against them, and I did not realize how wicked I really was. But I was eat up with it. If we're not careful, sin, watch this now. She hid the leaven in the three measures, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, till the whole was leavened. Here's one thing that I'm going to give you out of this. How much sin does it take to ruin a person's life? Who in here has ever smoked dope?
I ain't pastoring you guys. I'm out of here.
What did it cost you? Huh?
9 years, 7 months, 28 days.
This man spent 9 years... 7 months, 28 days in prison because he smoked a joint one time. How old were you?
39.
How old were you when you smoked that first joint?
14.
One sin. All it takes is one. And once it's in you, it always grows. One joint, one drink, one Playboy magazine, one chat with somebody online. Careful there, Roy. It's all it takes, isn't it? Go ahead. Yeah. My brother-in-law used to say, for a while I was doing drugs, and then the drugs were doing me. Just a little bit of leaven. And the devil's going to work that, and he's going to heat it up until it absolutely consumes and destroys your life. That's the bread. Is this Bible right? Say amen. Now turn to Exodus, okay? Turn to Exodus. You're going to like this. Okay? Exodus chapter 12. I guess this is a... like a message where I'm going to tell you, be careful. Be careful. Careful about certain things that you think are probably harmless. Because it's not that bad. But it always turns out to be far worse than you ever intended. And I'm looking at a church full of people who have experienced that one way or another. I pick on Roy a lot, and I talk about him because he said I could. Because he doesn't mind letting everybody know that he was a worthless drunk and God saved him and God brought him out, and he wishes every day that he would have never picked up that first bottle. Every day. But you see, there's people in this church that I don't know what your leaven was back in the day. But I guarantee you, it was there. Or you wouldn't be here. See, you came here because the leaven took over. And it was more than you could handle. And you couldn't live that way anymore. And you begged God to purge that stuff out of you. Am I right? Okay, looking at a church full, and you're looking at a preacher. Same thing. Okay? People online, same thing. Look at your Bible, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. God is preparing Israel to leave Egypt. Okay? Egypt is the world that you lived in before you were saved. Canaan is where we want to go. Amen? Okay? And you watch this. Be careful of the leaven of Egypt. Now, I'm going to show you what that is. This day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. You hearing that? You know what leaven is? Malice, wickedness, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. God said, I don't even want a bag of leaven in your house. Get it out. You're going to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. We know what that is, right? We know Christ is the unleavened bread. We know the Bible is the unleavened bread. So you put away leaven out of your houses. Watch this now. Here's how serious God is on this thing. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day into the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. God was serious about it. He was serious enough to tell Moses, to tell those people, if anybody eats leavened bread for these 7 days, I'm going to cut you off. See, we're leaving. And if you eat leavened bread, I'm leaving you here in Egypt. You're not going with us. And now, maybe there was some Jews somewhere that really liked their white bread, their puffy bread, the thick crust on their pizza. They really liked it. And they thought, well, what Moses don't know that I'm doing won't hurt Moses. God knew. And I guarantee you, some old Jew just had to have leavened bread that week. And God cut him off. God didn't let him go. Guarantee you. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere, but God was serious enough about it to make that promise. If you do it, I am going to cut you off. Now, look at verse 18 of chapter 12. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations, ye shall eat unleavened bread. So God is reiterating this, and he's serious about it. Now, look at verse 39, chapter 12. Remember, Israel left in a hurry. Who knows, when they were doing that first Passover, and they were all in their houses, and they had, you know, they had the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and they were in the house eating that lamb. How were they doing it? Does anybody know how they were eating it? They were standing up. Why? God said, when I get ready to call you, I don't even want you to spend time getting up. I want you ready to go. Are you listening to that? The day I was electrocuted, God caught me off guard. I wasn't ready. And I prayed while I was dying that God would make me ready. I have since asked God more than once that when he's ready to take me for real, and he's not just kidding around with it, you know, like when he's electrocuting me, I've asked God to make sure that I know that I'm ready. Amen? I want to be standing on that day. I want to be ready. And I don't want any leaven. So now watch this. Exodus 12:39, they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened. Watch this. Because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now, somebody help me out. When you make bread and you're going to make, you know, big loaf of bread, you mix the dough first, right? And then you got the dough sitting there, and then you get the yeast in the water and get it activated. Am I right so far? And then when you're ready, you put the yeast in the dough. No? So I'm asking you to help me out here. Don't just let me keep going. How do you do it? Mix it all together? Okay. Somehow, some way, they had the ingredients for the bread ready, and God thrust them out so fast they didn't have time to put the leaven in there. And so they just left, and all their bread that they left with was unleavened. Because that's what it says, right? See, I can be wrong and be stupid about other things. I'm not wrong about this. So they left Egypt, and they left the leaven in Egypt. So when they left Egypt, they didn't take the leaven with them. Amen? Believe it or not, I sat down last night and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking of how their journey went in the wilderness. Because not everybody that left Egypt walked into Canaan. It ended up only being two, Joshua and Caleb. What happened to everybody else? They may not have taken, Philip, they may not have taken the yeast leaven with them out of Egypt, but they took other types of leaven with them. And I sat down, I just was toying with some ideas to preach. And I wrote these five things down, and when I wrote them down, I got to thinking, I thought, you know, there's scripture for every one of these. The leaven of Egypt's religion, leaven of Egypt's Egyptian friends and companions, the leaven of Egypt's bondage, the leaven of Egypt's food, the leaven of Egypt's politics. I'm going to give you these. Here's the leaven of Egypt's religion. They left the yeast leaven in Egypt. But when they left Egypt, they took some things that they got from Egypt with them. And one of them was their religion. Where do you think the Israelites got the idea for making that calf? Exodus 12:35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. What did they end up doing with those jewels? Handed them to Aaron. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them into Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." They took with them the religious ideas of Egypt. They should have left them behind. And let me tell you something. When you get saved, when you get right with God, then put your mind and your heart inside of your Bible, and you need to let go and forget all that other junk that you learned about God or that you thought about God, because it's probably not true. You need to be remade in your mind according to Bible knowledge and not according to the stupid stuff that you learned from the world. Somebody say amen. You need to leave Egypt, back where Egypt is. If the Egyptians want to believe that nonsense, let them believe it. But you're not going to believe it anymore. I made a deal with God. 1997. God said, "Mike, we're going to study prophecy." I said, "Okay. Well, I'm going to go buy me some Tim LaHaye books. And I'm going to get me some prophecy books off the Christian bookstore. And I'm going to read them." And God said, "No, Mike. I wrote a book on prophecy. And you're going to learn some things." And I made a deal with God. "God, I will throw out everything that I ever learned all my life growing up. I want to toss it all out, and I want you to retrain me. Because I want to think the way the Bible says it, and not necessarily the way men said it. And I want to tell you something. There's no harm and no danger in you letting loose of some things that you were told, as long as you're willing to let God take you through the Scriptures and let God show you. Here, now here's what this verse says. Now here's what this verse says. Now this is what's going to happen right here. Because I just decided to believe, Randy Casey, that my Bible was right in everything that it said. And if God said the beast is going to have 7 heads, 10 horns, then it's going to have 7 heads and 10 horns. So I knew it wasn't Obama, because he didn't have 7 heads and 10 horns. Amen. So leave the religion. Leave the leaven of Egyptian friends and companions. I'm going to ask you a question. How many old friends, when you were lost, how many of them does it take to get you back out of church? Leviticus 24, verse 10. The son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian. There was an Egyptian boy in the camp of Israel. Look at what he did. Went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. You know what they ended up doing to that guy? They stoned him with stones until he was dead. You know why? You don't curse God. You don't blaspheme God. And let me tell you something. Your friends will always... See, there's only two spirits in this world. There's the Spirit of God that works in God's people, and there is the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. And if you are saved, then the Holy Spirit leads and guides you in your life. If somebody you know is lost, do not count on them to lead you in the same direction that God wants to lead you. Because they won't. They have a different spirit in them, and the devil is always going to use them. And all it takes is one. We were told not to be unequally yoked together with who? That's what we were told. Because all it takes is one. The reason why they stoned this guy? Because they knew that they could not let him continue to influence the people of Israel. And look around you. Lost people in this world have more influence than they ever have in human history. TV, radio, sports, movies, books, magazines, social media. We are surrounded by lost people and their ways. Who in here has had to purge your Facebook list? Very wise in doing that. Getting rid of some of that nonsense. Because they're really not your friends. Egypt's, believe it or not, believe it or not, there are some people who just like being in bondage. In Exodus 14:12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. There was leaven of Egypt's bondage in their heart. They got to the place there on the beach of Pi-hahiroth. And they had Pharaoh coming at them. God was holding them back. And then they had the Red Sea behind them. And they're saying, what we come out here to die for? We would have been better off in Egypt. And I'm going to tell you something. If that thought has never occurred to you as a Christian, give it time. Have you ever had the thought, you know what, the trouble I'm going through right now, I'm saved. I never had this kind of trouble when I was lost. You know why? Because you didn't have the devil persecuting you the way he does now. And if he's persecuting you, you ought to count yourself glad that you were counted worthy to If he's coming after you, it's because he sees you as a danger and a threat. But there are just some people, they just love bondage. And they'll go back to it every single time. This man was delivered from drugs. But I bet you he knows people that are still in it. Even at your age, they're still in it. And they'll never walk away from it. Am I right? If they live long enough, they'll never walk away from it. The leaven of Egypt's food. The appetite, your fleshly appetites will destroy you. Numbers 11:4, in the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we had in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." Boy, those people stink. Amen. "But now our soul is dried away and there is nothing at all besides this old King James Bible before our eyes." We've got churches and Christian, so-called Christians and so-called pastors all over this country. They're just not satisfied with the Bible anymore. Why? You see the way the lost people are doing it? That's the way we should do it. They just carried with them the leaven. Leaven of Egypt's politics. You going to preach on politics, Pastor Mike? You bet. 1 Samuel 8. Watch this now. It took years for this one to lump up. 1 Samuel 8. I'm going to make this real quick. I don't know if I can, though. Hang on. "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment." Look at there. Three things. What did the woman do with the leaven? Hid it in three measures of meal. And these boys went after lucre, took bribes and perverted judgment. Three things. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Where did they get the idea of a king from? Egypt. And it took years for this one to develop. Now let me give this to you very simple. This country did not want a king. Except King Jesus. We do not have a king. We do not have one person who has totalitarian authority over everybody in America. And we don't want it that way. But we are growing into a society that will demand a king. And they will get a wicked, cruel authority. That's how it always works. You see, God let the Israelites judge themselves. Moses appointed rulers over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties. They had local control. We used to have local control over our school districts. But now we have a king called the Department of Education that rules over all the schools. This is why your kids in public school do not know how to add 2 + 2. Common Core. It's nuts what they're doing. We used to have local authority and local control. And bless God, when Obama was trying to kick in all these gun control measures, we had sheriffs over counties. Local control that stood up and said, if you dare send any federal agents into this county with new gun regulations, we will arrest them. Because they have no authority in our territory. That was local control. And God let Israel have local control. But they got so corrupt. And this is where we're going. They ended up with a king. Now you listen to that. That's all I got to preach today. I'm done. But I want you to consider your old ways. You got them from the world. They're still there. and they need to be purged. I need to learn. I don't know how to purge yeast out of a lump. I don't know how to do that. Does anybody know how to do that? There's got to be a way. And I want to learn that. Because I guarantee you something good and something big in there. But I don't know what it is yet. Go ahead. The light? Get out of here. Come up here and preach, Ian. I like it. Turn light on. Turn light on. It kills yeast. That's good. That's right. You cover it up. You cover a lump in the pan. You cover it up because it lights dark. Let's pray. God, thank you, God. God, you're good. Thank you for giving us this message. I needed it. These people need it. This country needs it. God, we've got leaven still in us from the old life. And God, I have seen the results. Time and time and time again. Leaven of sin. Leaven of bitterness toward people. Leaven of lust. Started out, God, with just eye contact. And then people are out having affairs all over the place. God, I've seen the effect of it. It always looks so innocent. And turns out so deadly. God, convict our hearts. Deal with us. Show us, God, where the leaven is. Show us, God, how our ways, Father, are not right. And we justify it. And we say it's harmless. It's no big deal. It's not hurting that much. And yet, God, we've just been told. What happens if we let it go? God, convict us today. God, you can center in on every person listening today. You can center right into their hearts and exactly what's going on in their life. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do that for your people. Lord, if there's somebody watching or listening today that's lost, or maybe they're just back, they just got back out in the world and got in a mess. God, that you would shine the light, purge the leaven, clean up their life and make them whole, make them clean again. God, we understand, Lord, that one day we purge the leaven, the next day it'll be there again because it's all around us. So, Father, we recognize this is an ongoing fight, an ongoing lifestyle for us. Permanent changes to the way we live need to be made. And, Father, we're so weak, we can't do it. We need your help. Father, thank you, Lord, for revelation today. For showing us all great and mighty things. And Father, you work in the hearts of these people, Lord. You work in their hearts so that we can see the change and the effect a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years down the road. We see, God, that you are still working a good work in everyone who's heard the word today. Father, bless us now. Dismiss us in your care and in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Stand up. Give somebody a hug. Tell them you love them. And come back and be with us at 4:00.